Well, we want to wish everybody a happy new year. Did you survive the new year? Of course, many were here at our New Year's Eve service. Had a wonderful time. Had a good time of testimonies and sharing God's word. So another year is upon us. Well, I was thinking, as we normally do in the month of January, trying to come up with a theme that kind of kick us off for the year, kick off the year off right. And this year, I want to bring a series of messages in January on the theme of faithfulness. And 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 is we're going to start off where our theme begins. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2 is our opening verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2. Moreover, it is required in a steward, in stewards, that a man be found faithful. Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. In Proverbs chapter 20, verse 6, it says, "A faithful man, who can find?" So today, I want to look at one of the aspects of faithfulness. So every week, we're going to look at a different type of way in which we can be faithful. And today, I want to speak on the subject, faithful in affliction. Faithful in affliction. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today for the time to share this word, and I pray that it'll be a blessing to all, and that each and every one of us will determine at the beginning of this new year that we are going to be found faithful. And I pray that the message today will help us and encourage us and motivate us, Lord. And even in the midst of affliction, as all of us have happened in our lives, that we'll remain faithful. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, we're going to talk about faithfulness for this month, and in this particular Sunday morning to start us off, I do want to look at the area of faithfulness in affliction. In affliction. And the reason I want to start here is because I think that in most cases it's easy to be faithful to God when everything is going fine in our life. But when affliction comes, when problems come, when issues come, sometimes it throws us off kilter, throws us off course. We get discouraged, we get mad, we get upset. We're prone to quit, we're prone to make some bad decisions spiritually. And sometimes affliction is a tool of the devil, I believe, sometimes to try to get us off course. So we're going to look at that today. We know that it's important to be faithful. And when Jesus gave a number of parables, he would say in these parables, to conclude the parable, he would say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." And many times he would equate faithfulness and service as being a motive to get us to do the right thing and continue to do the right thing so that we can be rewarded for our faithfulness. Now, faithful, to be trusted. To be faithful means that you can be trusted, that you can be reliable, that people can count on you, that when people look at your life, they'll say, "There's a guy that his word is good, that he's reliable." You know, faithfulness is so important in many aspects of our life, and it's hard to trust somebody who's not faithful. They say one thing, they do another thing. You know, one day they're good, the next day they're not. One day they show up, the next day they're not. You know, you have people at work sometimes that you work with. Here's a guy every day shows up at work, does his job, does a good job, is faithful. And, you know, that's the type of person you can depend on. But then there's other people. You don't know when they're going to come, when they're not going to come. If they do come, are they going to finish the job? Are they going to do the right thing? And so they're deemed as being unfaithful, unreliable, really the type of person you don't want to work with or have work for you. And so faithfulness, God, we work for God. We serve God. God's looking for people that every day you show up, every day he can count on you, every day you're reliable, every day God can look at you and say, "You know, there's a guy that is going to do right. Here's a person that no matter what happens is going to stay consistent and be responsible and be reliable." And that's the type of person that God looks for in our spiritual lives, somebody that is faithful. Now, in 2015, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know if good things are going to happen, bad things are going to happen. We do know this, that there'll come a day in which we will sometime find adversity or affliction come into our life. There's going to be a time when we are going to be afflicted. Something bad's going to happen, a crisis, a sickness, somebody's going to be near death, maybe a trial, maybe a loss of job. Something's going to happen where there will be some affliction. Something will happen where we are going to face affliction in our life. Now, so let's talk about that today. And the first thing I want to bring up to you is this, is that the righteous will suffer affliction. The righteous will suffer affliction. In Psalm 34, verse 19, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Many are the affliction of the righteous. Now, so if you're righteous in Christ, if you know Jesus as Savior, you're considered righteous. Now, that doesn't mean we always live righteously, but yet we're righteous through the blood of Jesus. And so as being righteous, many are the afflictions of the righteous. Do you realize that sometimes because we're saved, we go through more afflictions than the unsaved man? You realize sometimes the devil seeks to find a way to bring us down, to discourage us, to get us to do something crazy or to say something bad against God. And so sometimes affliction can be a tool of the devil to try to get us to the point where we lose our testimony. Now let me give you some examples this morning. Probably the most common example of somebody who suffered affliction would be Job, right? Job, more than anybody else, typifies somebody who went through a lot of bad things. Here's a righteous man, the most righteous man in the world at the time. And yet, the devil, his money, you know the story, comes to God, and God says, have you considered my servant Job? And the answer by the devil to back to God is that Job is only faithful and righteous because you've blessed him. If you take away everything he has, he'll curse you and he'll be just like anybody else. And so God allows the devil to bring afflictions upon Job. And so the first thing that happens, he loses all his possessions, his animals, his cattle, everything is gone. His servants that took care of him, they're either killed or they're kidnapped. And so he goes from being the most richest man in the world to having virtually nothing. And so affliction has come his way. And yet he still didn't curse God. Still didn't do anything that would be against his faith and against his testimony. And so the devil comes back to round two and says, well, because he's still healthy, that's why he is not cursing you. And so God said, all right, you can do everything except take his life. And it immediately boils, developed all up and down Job's body to the point where he's so miserable, he sat outside just scraping himself with a piece of pottery. Now, that is the ultimate in suffering. And the attacks came. But yet the Word of God says in Job chapter 1:22, in all this, Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job did not sin, nor charge God foolishly. Means that no matter what happened, Job wouldn't say anything against God. Now, what's a principle I want to share with you here this morning from this first illustration of Job? The principle is this, that during affliction, don't speak foolish against God. Don't say something you're going to regret someday. Don't say that God's not been good and God doesn't love me and God doesn't care about me and God's not a good God. Don't speak foolish. Well, if God really loved me, these bad things wouldn't come. And the unsaved man, he seems like he has more blessings. Listen, keep your mouth shut. Keep your mouth shut. Don't say something you'll later regret against God. You see, and yet that's the temptation that comes. Affliction comes, and all of a sudden, we think we should be immune to affliction. Nothing should come against us. Everything should be wonderful. Our life should be just, every day is a perfect day. But the truth is, we're all going to face afflictions, and when it comes, don't speak foolishly against God. Don't speak foolishly. There's a second guy that I want to talk about. His name is Joseph. Once again, another righteous man. A righteous man. He grew up with his brothers, had a dream from God, a vision that someday he would be in charge, he would rule and reign. And so with that authority, brought jealousy by his brothers. Eventually, they kidnap him. They're going to plot to kill him. Eventually, they instead sell him to the Midianites, and he is now a slave. He goes, lives in Egypt under Potiphar. He faithfully serves him. Potiphar's wife tries to seduce him. He flees from her. She accuses him falsely of attacking her. And so she then, through her influence, he is thrown in jail. There's a righteous man who suffered affliction. He didn't deserve any of that. In jail, he faithfully serves God. Eventually, though, God honors his faith. God honors his promises. Eventually, Joseph is elevated back to a position of great authority. Now, the principle from this life, his life, is this. During affliction, trust in God's promises. Trust in God's promises. The affliction comes. God didn't forsake you. God's promises didn't all of a sudden become null and void. God didn't change his mind. His promises are yea and yea and nay and nay. You can depend upon the promises of God. And so just because they don't come to pass as quickly as you'd expect them, and the affliction, maybe God is working in your life, you don't understand it, just realize that I can't understand what's going on, just like Joseph couldn't understand it, but I'm going to trust God's promises. I'm going to trust the Word of God. And I'm going to trust that He's not going to go against His Word. And so we see someone, a righteous man with afflictions. A third illustration are four Hebrew men. They're taken in captivity by the Babylonians. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and Daniel. And these four men were taken by the government and now given an opportunity to serve in the government. As they were to serve in the government, we see that there came a time when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were part of a large group of people that were called together to bow down and worship a false god. And so they had a decision. If we bow down, we'll be spared judgment. If we don't bow down, we're thrown into a fiery furnace. That's an affliction, is it not? How'd you like to have an either or put upon you like that? And so they refused. We're not going to bow down. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're not going to bow down. We know the rest of the story, don't we? Daniel later on is given an edict that you cannot pray for 30 days unless you check with the king. And he says, you know what? I'm going to keep praying. And I'm going to pray right in front of my window. And if they're going to throw me in a lion's den, they're going to throw me in a lion's den, but I'm going to do the right thing. You see, that's affliction. When someone says, you can't do this, you can't worship God, you have to worship a false idol, you can't pray. It was the government trying to dictate to these men how they would believe and how they would worship. And yet, these men stood up, and each time, both cases, God rewarded them by protecting them. And Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego did not have the fire furnace consume them. And Daniel did not have the lions consume him. And they both lived to tell about it. And the principle that I share with you here from this story, or these two stories, is this, is that during affliction, don't compromise your beliefs. During affliction, don't change what you believe. Don't change. If it's the Word of God, if it's true, then you always believe it, whether you have affliction or whether you don't. Whether times are good or times are bad. We don't change on the Word of God. We don't change on our beliefs. But yet, that's one of the ploys, one of the temptations. The devil tries to apply pressure, so all of a sudden you don't believe what you really believed. All of a sudden you don't follow God's Word the way you claim that you follow God's Word. And so compromise comes into people's lives all the time. Because it's easier to give in many times than to stand alone. It's easier to just go with the crowd rather than stand against the crowd. It's easier just to acquiesce to everything that's going on rather than say, no, by the grace of God, I'm going to do right whether I'm the only one standing or, you know, it doesn't matter. So what happens when affliction comes, don't change. Don't change what you believe. All of a sudden, people change when hard times come. I give another illustration of the Apostle Paul. Paul was a righteous preacher. But because he preached the gospel, a lot of people didn't like him. And people didn't like him all of a sudden made his life very difficult. And so they tried to kill Paul on a number of occasions. In fact, on one occasion, they took Paul outside the city and they hurled stones at him to the point that when they left him, they thought he was dead. Now, whether he was dead or not, the Bible doesn't really say. We don't really know. All we know is he raised up himself from the stones. Either way, it was miraculous. Now, there was another time when Paul was beaten. There's another time which Paul was imprisoned. Another time which Paul was shipwrecked. Another time which Paul went without food. He describes his life as being one in which he was beaten many times. 39 stripes. And he was beaten with rods. And he was imprisoned. And he was shipwrecked. And all these things came upon him. Affliction after affliction. He was bitten by a snake one time. And when it was all said and done, you know what? Paul just kept serving God. He got stoned and left for dead. You know what he did? He brushed himself off and he went back to the same city that stoned him. He got thrown in jail. You know, he says, I'm going to go back to Jerusalem and preach the gospel there. And I don't care if they throw me in jail or not. You see, what happens is that when affliction comes, the devil tries to get you to leave the will of God. It would have been very easy for Paul to say, you know what, I've been preaching for a couple of years now, and let somebody else keep preaching. I'm going to go. I'm going to retire. I'm going to go find a nice place where I can kind of finish out the rest of my days. I'll live in seclusion. I won't have to face angry mobs. I won't have to be thrown in jail. I won't have to be beaten anymore. I won't have to go from city to city making tents just to make money so that I can keep preaching. It would have been very easy just to shut down. But you see, you have to understand something. When you're doing the will of God, there's no time which God said, all right, just take off the rest of your life. You see, when you start to serve God, it's a lifetime process. And you finish the job that He calls you to do. And so, when affliction comes, what do we have to do? During afflictions, don't stop doing the will of God. Principle. When you face afflictions, don't stop doing the will of God. Now, this is just four illustrations of some people. But if you read the Bible, you read about how Moses suffered affliction. Abraham suffered affliction. Jacob suffered affliction. David suffered affliction. Elijah suffered affliction. Elisha suffered affliction. Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel. Go to the New Testament. John the Baptist, Peter, James, John, all the other apostles. Do you get the idea that every righteous person suffered affliction?
Yes, sir.
And so, who are you and me to think that affliction should skip over us? Who are we to think that, because I'm righteous, I should be shielded from affliction? Understand, realize that the more righteous you are, and when you try to live for God, the more resistance that the devil tries to bring into your life. You want to have no afflictions, no problems, just kind of skate through life, then don't do a whole lot for God. Maybe He'll leave you alone. And maybe everything will be just okay for you. But truth is, as you serve God faithfully, afflictions will be a part of your life. And you have to realize this is an opportunity to be faithful. Without afflictions, many times we're not tested to see would you be faithful or not. Without afflictions, you don't know if you'd quit. Without afflictions, you don't know if you'd give up. And so God allows afflictions. He allows afflictions to come in our life to see, where are you? Will you be faithful to me? Will you still love me? Will you still pray? Will you still read the Bible? Will you still go to church? Will you still be a good Christian? Will you still do the things that you're supposed to do in the midst of affliction? As a pastor for many years, I've seen people come and go. I've seen people on fire for the Lord, and afflictions come, and it gets to the point where they can't handle it anymore, and you just don't see them anymore. They just kind of drop out spiritually. I found others that when affliction comes, what it does is makes them stronger and gives them a greater ability to somehow find strength that they didn't have, that God gives them, and grace that God gives them, and power that God gives them. And they reach a different level spiritually because afflictions were a good thing in their life. And so it just depends how you look at it. If you want to just go through life with no problems, no issues, things like that, then God can't really bring you to the next level of your Christian life. Second thing I want you to see this morning is this, is not only do the righteous suffer afflictions, but secondly, God delivers us out of the affliction. God promised to deliver us out of affliction. You're going to have a deliverance out of affliction. Look at these verses. Psalm 34, verse 17. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth and delivereth them out of their troubles. Verse 19. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. Those two verses tell us that God delivers us out of afflictions. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 11. Paul says, what persecutions I endured, but out of them all the Lord delivered me. The Lord delivered me. Job suffered greatly, but he was delivered. He got twice as much. Joseph was mistreated, but he was delivered. He got to be a ruler over all of Egypt. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had afflictions, but God delivered them out of a fiery furnace and allowed them to be elevated in their government. Daniel faced great affliction, but yet God delivered him and allowed him once again to go and be a great ruler in his land likewise. Paul suffered great affliction, but Paul was protected over and over again. See, today, folks, the afflictions come. It doesn't mean that God's going to forsake you. It doesn't mean that he's going to say you're on your own. He not only allows afflictions, but he takes us out of afflictions. Now, you might be saying, now, Pastor, not everybody got delivered. To that, I say you're right. Because I read how John the Baptist was beheaded and he was not delivered out of jail. And I read how James was beheaded. He was not delivered out of jail. And Jeremiah was taken down to Egypt and we're not sure whatever happened to him. And other men of God were not delivered in a miraculous way. But you know, I look and I think of one of these people, for example, that was not delivered. Do you remember the story of Stephen? Stephen had preached the Word of God. And at the conclusion of the Word of God, the angry mob that was around him, predominantly of rebellious Israelite men, were so mad at what he said that they began to stone Stephen to death. That's a pretty bad affliction, isn't it? Do you remember what happened to Stephen right before he died? He got a vision and he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Standing, in essence, to welcome him home. And he gave up the ghost. Now, yes, he died as in the midst of an affliction, but you know what happened? He went to heaven. That's not too bad of a thing, is it? And so though there was an affliction, it ended, and he's been in heaven ever since and rewarded for his affliction. So what I'm saying is that there's not always what we would consider a happy ending to affliction on this side of heaven. But there's always a happy ending. There's always a happy ending. Because God promised to deliver us all out of every affliction. The third statement I give you today is this. Or the third area of our message this morning is this. How to stay faithful during affliction. How do you stay faithful? You're sick. You lost your job. You have troubles, you have persecutions, you have needs that go unmet, you have disappointments in life, you have afflictions, your faith is being tested, your strength is weakened, your resolve now is in question. How do you deal with affliction in your life? When the tempter comes, when life comes, when bad things happen, when you are worried and upset and miserable over the things that have come in your life, how do you stay faithful? How do you put a smile on your face and say, God's good? How do you keep walking and saying, you know what? I'm still going to read the Word of God. I'm still going to go to church. I'm still going to pray. I'm still going to do the things I should do. How do you overcome when affliction comes? Because sometimes it zaps you of your spiritual energy. Sometimes you don't want to carry on. You don't want to go on anymore. You don't want to. It's easier sometimes to say, I just quit. I just give up. So how do you stay faithful during affliction? A couple things. Number one, realize the blessing of affliction. realize the blessing of affliction. You mean there's a blessing when I'm afflicted? Realize the blessing. Turn with me to James chapter 5, verse 10. James 5, 10. Take my brethren, the prophets, who have spoken in the name of the Lord for an example of suffering affliction and of patience. He said, go back, read the Bible. Read about all the prophets that had to endure affliction with patience. And then verse 11, behold, we count them, what's the next word? Happy which endure. We count them happy which endure. Now the word happy means blessed. We count them blessed that endured. He goes on and talks about the patience of Job in verse 11. He says, you've heard of the patience of Job and have seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. Would we all say that Job was blessed at the end more than he ever was? Yes. Blessed. Now, what is God saying? That with affliction comes blessing. So the more you're afflicted, guess what? The more blessings you get. Isn't that good news?
Yes, sir.
Some of you are looking at me like, I don't understand that one. That doesn't make sense. I'm still waiting for the blessing. I got all the affliction. What does it mean? Happy. Happy are the afflicted. Happier than what you endure. The patience of Job. How do you learn patience? Anybody ever pray for patience? Let me warn you. Unless you want afflictions, don't pray for patience. Because the only way you can have patience is if your patience is tried. And if nothing tries your life, you don't have to exercise patience. You understand, right? So, bad things have to happen in your life in order for you to learn patience. But you know that patience is a godly virtue? Do you know it's a sign of maturity? James talks about that trials come, that when you endure and God gives you patience, that it is you now reached a new level of maturity in your Christian life. And so, you want to get closer to God? Afflictions draw you closer to God. You learn patience. You see, patience means I won't do something stupid. Patience means I won't just run by the flesh. Patience means that I just won't hurry up and make a bad decision. Patience gives you wisdom. Do you understand that? And so with afflictions comes the blessings, because now you learn patience. By the way, also you grow stronger in afflictions. You go stronger in affliction. Any of you that are out there that have ever trained, did any weight training or anything physical in order to gain strength of your body, what do you have to do? You have to put your body through some sort of affliction. You picked up weights, you ran, you did exercises, you did something, you pushed your body because you had to make it strain. And in the afflicting of the body, what happens? It built up muscles. It gave you greater strength. And now you're stronger now because you disciplined yourself and worked out and whatever you had to do to afflict, in essence, bring a resistance against yourself so that your muscles could be strengthened. Well, spiritually, when you are afflicted, what happens? Your spiritual muscles get stronger. You're able to pick things up and bear the burden greater. You know who bears burdens greater than anybody else? People have been through a lot of things. And you look at that person, how in the world could you handle that situation? How could you deal with that in your life? You must have very strong shoulders. No, years ago you went through affliction and God gave you strength, and you went through more affliction, God gave you strength, and He kept strengthening you all along so that when something major hit your life, you were able to bear it because you had grown spiritually strong over the years. But people that run from affliction and get mad and don't learn from affliction are not able to get strengthened. They become weaker. And in their weakness then, when greater things come in their life, they fall apart. They go out and they just kind of, you know, find a, I'm just going to go out and get drunk. I'm just going to, you know, good. I'm just going to go out and it doesn't matter. and they waste their life, they waste their money, they make poor decisions, they give up. What's happened is that they never got strong enough in their life to handle anything. And so it's a process, and God's bringing you through a process. So thank God for the process. Thank God for the end result of the process. So you grow stronger. You also, whenever you're afflicted, you grow more dependent on God. You need God more. You know, that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing to need God. It's a good thing to be dependent upon Him. To be dependent. Lord, I'm weak, but You are strong. Lord, I don't know the answers, but You have the answers, and I'm going to depend on You. You ever hear people just saying, it almost becomes a trite cliche. I'm just trusting the Lord. I'm just trusting the Lord. People look at you like, oh, yeah, I know, you're just trusting the Lord. But you know what? When you're trusting God, every time you're trusting God, you're saying, Lord, I depend on You. I depend on You. Because you know what? I can't figure it out. And I'm not strong enough. And I'm not wise enough. And because of my weakness and my inability, I'm trusting in You, Lord, to help me out. It's a wonderful thing to trust in God. It's a good thing. You find God's faithfulness. You find God's strength. You find God's mercy. And you find that God is able. God's able. And so, what's God doing in affliction? He's teaching us valuable lessons that will pay off for us someday great rewards. And so, afflictions are a means of God's blessing. And so, that's why the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations or trials. When was the last time you said, Lord, thank You for that trial? Boy, I needed that. Lord, thank You for letting me lose my job. That was good. I needed that. Lord, thank You for bringing me to a new level of poverty. That was good for me. I needed to have that. Kept me humble. Lord, thank You for that sickness that came on my body. Man, I spent a lot of time praying. I got to know You a lot better. Lord, thank You for the trial that I went through, the affliction that I had to endure, because in doing so, I now found strength that I never had within myself. And so, thank God. Count it a joy. Count it a blessing. Boy, that's a different mindset, isn't it? None of us say, man, I'm so glad I got cancer. Man, I'm so glad that my loved one passed away. Man, I'm so glad that I financially am struggling. Because in our mind, those are terrible, bad things that we run from, we avoid, we don't want to have happen yet. God says that through your affliction is the blessing. It's the blessing. Now you want the blessing, right? Well, sometimes you got to take the affliction that comes before the blessing. I mean, Job got the double blessing, but he had to be afflicted. And Joseph got to rule Egypt, but he had to have the affliction first. And all the other Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel, Paul, all these men achieved great things. They got blessed by God, but it all came after the affliction. So if you're afflicted right now, guess what's coming? Blessings are coming. Blessings are coming. And so realize a blessing. Secondly, how do you stay faithful? Look to Jesus as your example. Look to Jesus as your example. What do we call ourselves? Christians. What's that mean? Little Christ, like Jesus. Well, start acting like Jesus. Because Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says this, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before us, endured the cross. That sounds like an affliction, does it not? Despising the shame. That sounds like an affliction. And is set down at the right hand of God. Jesus was afflicted. He was a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was mocked. Jesus was spat upon. Jesus was unjustly tried and then falsely accused, and He received a death that He didn't deserve. Affliction after affliction, He came unto His own, and His own what? Received Him not. Jesus, if you talk about somebody who went through afflictions, the life of Jesus can be summarized by a life of affliction. That's all he did. He was afflicted. He did good, and what did he get from it? He got bad. People turned on him. People wanted him crucified. And so, who's my example? I looked at Jesus, and I say, you know, look what they did to Jesus. Look at all the afflictions. But you know what? For the joy that was set before him, what joy was that? Someday, you and me would get saved. Someday, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What was the joy that was set before Jesus? The fact that many would come into the kingdom of God through his death. Through his affliction, many would live. Through his death, many would be saved. And so for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You think it was easy for Jesus to be mocked and laughed at and scourged and spit upon and given vinegar to drink? You think it was easy to go through that? He despised the shame that he had to go through. But yet he did it so that we could be saved. So I'm going to keep looking at Jesus and say, you know what? He's my hero. He's the one I'm following. Because he saw the big picture. He, despising the shame, he endured the cross for the joy set before him. He said, if I can just get through this affliction, good things are going to happen. And so I looked to Jesus, the author and finisher of my faith. Third thing we do of dealing, getting through your affliction is pray much. Pray much. That sounds like a pretty easy formula, doesn't it? But you know what? It's amazing sometimes when we go through affliction how little we pray. We think, I got problems and I'll try to figure it out and I'll go talk to somebody and I'll try to find an answer somehow, some way. And you know, God says, why don't you just come pray to me about it? Pray much. Look, it says, James chapter 5, verse 13. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Are you afflicted? Pray about it. Now, by the way, he's talking about affliction as far as sickness goes in that particular passage. But it reaches all different types of afflictions. In verse 16, he says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Jeremiah 16, verse 19 says this, O Lord, my strength and my fortress and my refuge in the day of affliction. Jeremiah says, in the day of affliction, Lord, you're my strength, you're my refuge. I'm coming to you. I'm coming to you for help. When Paul was afflicted with a thorn of flesh, what did he do? He said, I prayed three different times. I prayed three times. And so pray much. Don't run from God. Run to God. Sometimes the greatest times of prayer you'll ever find is in the midst of affliction. When you're afflicted, you pour out your heart before God. During your affliction, you spend more time, many times, than you'd ever spend when you're not afflicted. So pray much. And then the next thing, stand fast. Endure. Stand fast. Stand fast. I'm not leaving. I'm not moving. I'm not compromising. I'm not giving up. I'm not giving in. I'm not changing. I'm standing fast. You see, once again, when affliction comes, the goal of the devil is to get us to move off center. Move from our convictions. Move from the Bible. Move from the spiritual disciplines we have in our life. And you know what? When affliction comes, we just plant our feet firmly and say, you know what? I shall not be moved. I'm not moving. I'm going to stand fast. Stand fast. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 7 and 8 says, therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distressed by your faith. For now we live, and if you stand fast in the Lord. Go stand fast in the Lord. In James 5:11, it says to endure. That means don't faint, don't quit, don't give up, don't stop doing the things that you do. Stand fast. Stand fast. In the battle with the devil, put on the whole armor of God. What do you have to do? Having done all, stand. Now, what does that mean to you and me? That means keep doing the spiritual things you always keep doing. Keep believing what you always believe. Stay faithful to the Word of God. Stay faithful to your prayer closet. Stay faithful to the Bible reading. Stay faithful to everything in life that needs to be done. Stand fast. And then the next thing, realize the brevity of the affliction. The brevity of the affliction. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17 says this, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight in glory." What does God call your affliction? He calls it light. You call it heavy, God calls it light. We think it's for a long time, but what does God say it's for? Just for a moment. You know what he's saying? Your affliction, it's not that heavy, and it's going to be over pretty quick. Now, when we're going through affliction, it seems a burden we cannot carry, and it seems like it goes on for a long time. But God said, in comparison to eternity, what is it? It's light, and it's a short time. You get over it. There's a solution. You move on. So realize the brevity of the affliction, meaning that, you know what? It's not going to always be like this. It'll get better. Now, notice it says that our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a more exceeding and eternal weight in glory. Now, that comes into my last point in conclusion is this. Realize the reward for enduring afflictions. You see, God says what you're going through is it's just a short time. And it's not that heavy. And you can handle it. Did not Jesus say to take his yoke upon him and he would help bear that burden? Did he not say that we are to come unto him and he would give us answers? Did he not say that our affliction would not be something that he could not deliver us out of? And so, but here's the last thing I want you to see today. Is that if you endure affliction and you stay faithful, God gives you a reward for all eternity. So you suffer an affliction for a week, a month, a year, 10 years, 20 years. But what's even 20, 30 years compared to all eternity? It's absolutely nothing. Your affliction is light, but in your place, what do you get? A reward for all eternity. So you suffered for a while and you endured it, and for all eternity God gives you reward. Do you understand? God's saying it's light and it's for a moment, but guess what you get out of it? A reward for all eternity. That's a pretty good trade-off, isn't it? If I can just stay faithful, this will be over soon and it won't be that heavy, and God will deliver me out of it. And if I could just stay faithful to God, He's going to reward me someday. Look at the last verse here. James 1:12. "Blessed is the man that endureth temptation," or trials. "For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised them that love him." Can you imagine someday you're at the judgment seat of Christ, and your afflictions all come up on the screen of life. And all the times in which you were put under something hard and difficult, and it tried and tested your faith, and every time you were found faithful, every time you got through it, every time you trusted God, every time you didn't curse God, you didn't quit, you didn't stop doing the things you should do, every time you stayed faithful to God, and when God sees that at the judgment seat of Christ, He then gives you a crown. A crown. A crown of life. And you know what He says? "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." You did good. You didn't quit. You didn't give up. You didn't stop. You stayed faithful in the midst of whatever was going on in your life. And for all eternity, there's a crown that you wear. I don't know if you wear it on your head. I don't know how it all works out. I don't know if you're walking around with all these crowns hanging on your head, or you already cast them at the feet of Jesus. You don't get them back. I don't know. It doesn't really give us all the details. But I know this, that for all eternity, you get reward, because you know what? When you went through that light affliction for a short amount of time, you endured it, and for all eternity, God gave you a reward. And so, afflictions, they're not bad. We don't like them. We don't want them. We don't want to go through them. But they're a necessary part of life. And so this year, 2015, You're going to have afflictions. Mark it down. You're not going to make it through 365 days in a row without any afflictions. You're going to have it. You probably already have it now. You're going to have afflictions. And so you're going to have to determine, I'm going to stay faithful to my God, to the Bible, to prayer, to worship, to give thanks. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm not going to say anything stupid. I'm going to stay faithful. I'm going to trust God. I'm going to pray about it. He's going to give me strength. I'm going to find patience. He's going to allow me to grow. I'm going to be thankful. I'm going to help other people through their afflictions. And I'm going to be a blessing as God will bless me for my afflictions. Just stay faithful. Stay faithful to the very end. Let's pray. Father, thank you tonight, today, for this time to